It's Monday, the 18th of April, 2016. Happy birthday to Bojan Bogdanovic and CJ Miles. Basketball Monster Show brought to you by Loot Crate and Philzor12. My name is Josh Lloyd, and if you want to be like Philzor12 and sponsor the podcast for an episode, it's very straightforward. Just leave a review on iTunes and you can help the show out immensely, and you can be a sponsor of the show and get a big shout out like Philzor12 did. And of course, in Philzor, the O is a zero because that's the way that Phil likes to roll. We've got stuff to talk about. As per usual, you know these playoff shows are a lot shorter than the regular season ones, but
let's get to it.
Oh, I agree. No mucking around, Mike. Not a good day for watching basketball. Three absolute smashings. The first game was the best of the lot, the Cavs and the Pistons. Just a lot of terrible basketball. And we hear so much about the Western Conference and the Eastern Conference and all that sort of stuff. And yes, the Western Conference houses the best two teams. But the rest of the Western Conference, well, the bottom, outside the top four teams, the rest of the Western Conference is, it's pretty bad. It's shit house, in fact. And the majority of the East teams, in fact, I'd even go as far as to say the Bulls and the Wizards. Maybe this is stretching a little bit far. I would rather them over the teams 6 through 8 in the West. Is that crazy? The Grizzlies, the Mavericks, the Rockets. Is it crazy to say the Bulls and the Wizards would be better than those two teams? We always hear this talk about, you know, reseeding things by the top 16 teams in the league and all that sort of talk. And things are cyclical because the East has been terrible, but the East is better this year. And we still had some blowouts in the East, but the West has just been atrocious so far in these playoffs. The bottom half of the West, they are going to get smashed. They may struggle to get one victory between them with the way that they looked in these first games. But let's get into the performances. The monstrous line of the night goes to Chris Paul of the Los Angeles Clippers. Paul was always primed for a big performance against a Clippers team who will struggle defensively at the guard position. Paul had 28, 6, and 11. He had two steals. He had two triples. He only took 33 minutes to do it. A massive performance from Chris Paul. I'm going to introduce another couple of daily awards now throughout the playoffs. Best value DFS pick. So who gave you the best bang for your buck? And for Sunday's games, it was actually in that same game. It was Gerald Henderson of the Portland Trailblazers who played 30 minutes. He went 16, 2, and 3. He had two steals. He had two triples, probably close to his best game for the season. He turned in 26.9 FanDuel points for a 6.5 or 7.5x value return. So pretty nice performance from Gerald Henderson off the bench there for the Blazers. The other award I'm going to give out throughout these playoffs is the DFS dud of the night, and it's going to be the player who costs over $5,000 who gives you the least return on investment. And for Sunday's games, that goes to Matt Barnes, who was priced at $6,000 on FanDuel, and he returned you a grand total of 5.3 points. He played just 23 minutes and had two points, four rebounds, and one assist, went 1 of 7 from the field, and had three turnovers. This Grizzlies-Spurs series is literally, figuratively, going to be a bloodbath. It is a destruction, and it will continue to be that way. Let's have a quick look throughout these four games to see if anything interesting sort of stands out. For Detroit and Cleveland, which was easily the best game of the night, and the Pistons had some really red-hot shooting to start things, and were giving Cleveland some trouble. Kyrie and LeBron really got them out of that. The Pistons did their standard thing. Big minutes for the starters. The bench not providing much. Stan Johnson did one of his better performances, I would say, for the season. Played 16 minutes, had grabbed 8 boards, hit 3 triples, played some nice defense on LeBron. He is the standout of that bench unit. And they did go with Reggie Bullock over Jody Meeks. Didn't know how they'd run that backup shooting guard position, but yeah, Reggie Bullock got the minutes there over Meeks. Meeks is obviously still just coming back from that shoulder issue, and Bullock has played well down the stretch, surprisingly, but he's done well. Not much else to really look at here. The starters are going to get the bulk of the minutes. Marcus Morris has a pretty nice night. He hit 3 triples, not his best shooting night. Toby Harris struggled a bit, but contributed in other areas. For the Cavs, it was all the big three. It was all LeBron, it was all Kyrie, it was all Kevin Love. They all had massive nights. LeBron 22, 6, and 11 with two steals and two blocks. Irving went 31, 5, and 6 with two steals and a block and five triples. And Love went 28 and 13 with four triples. the fact that those three guys had such massive games and they beat the Pistons by five, it should be a little bit alarming for Cleveland fans, especially considering they were down for a big portion of the game. They get nothing out of their other guys. J.R. Smith combines for, well, not combines, he gives you 9 points, three rebounds, three assists. Tristan Thompson goes 2-6-2. And the rest of their bench guys, Richard Jefferson, Iman Shumpert, Tim Mozgov and Matthew Dellavedova combined for not a lot at all. Mozgov got just 5 minutes, and I reckon that's probably going to be close to the norm for him. Dally with 19, Shumpert with 22. Just not great for the Cavs. They got the victory, and they'll be very happy about that. But they need some performances from Thompson, from Smith, from Shumpert, from someone. And looking at it now, this bench unit just looks, not even bench unit, this peripheral help unit, it just looks weak. I don't know. Charlotte and Miami, well, I thought Charlotte were going to win this series. Maybe they still will, but they got destroyed in this one. Nick Batum, we don't have any concerns about his ankle. He played 40 minutes, so that was good. He was their best player. Kemba struggled a little bit, just the 19 points, but no other real stats. Cody Zeller, only the 20 minutes for him. Marv Williams was terrible in his 26 minutes. The bench was emptied. Jorge Gutierrez played 4 minutes. Troy Daniels played 6. Yeah, Tyler Hansbrough played 4 minutes. The fact that we look at here and this game was a smashing, and Tyler Hansbrough got 4 minutes, Spencer Hall's got 4 minutes, and Jeremy Lamb got 4 minutes, makes me think that those guys will not be in the playoff rotation. Obviously, Jorge Gutierrez and Troy Daniels won't have a massive spot in the rotation, but I think their bench unit's going to consist of Jefferson, it's going to consist of Lynn, it's going to consist of Kaminsky as the main three guys in that bench unit, with maybe a little bit of Hawes, maybe a little bit of Lamb sprinkled in. But those other guys that only got those 4 minutes and played basically as an entire unit together, Gutierrez, Hansbrough, Hawes, and Lamb, may not play much throughout this season if the Hornets are able to keep it closer than this. For the Heat, Luol Deng, big game from him, 33 minutes, 31-7 with 4 triples. Whiteside was great as well, and Joe Johnson had 11-6-3. The Heat also had to went to their bench. They rolled out Darrell Wright. And if you're unaware that he was back in the league, he signed just before the end of the regular season. He played 4 minutes. He probably won't play another minute again in the playoffs, but he had 8 points in 4 minutes, including 2 triples, and that just shows you how much of a blowout this game was. Joshie Richardson still played his 35, so he's obviously a key part of this rotation. Gerald Green had 5 minutes. Josh McRoberts had 4 minutes. These are guys who aren't going to play much of a factor when the games are actually there and tight and close to be won. They're going to run out Deng, Whiteside, Johnson, Wade, Dragic, Richardson, Stoudemire, and Winslow as their main rotation pieces, or so it seems from this game. Things may change, but that would be what would make sense. Goran Dragic was probably the quietest of all the starters, and Justice Winslow didn't do much in his bench role, 8-4 in his 27 minutes. The Grizzlies and the Spurs, we knew this was going to be ugly. It was very ugly. Only two players on the Grizzlies got into double digits, and that was Vince Carter and Lance Stephenson. Carter started. He played 19 minutes, had 16-3-2, and really, it's so yuck looking at this. Zach Randolph was terrible. Matt Barnes was terrible. Tony Allen returned, and he played 21 minutes for 7 points. Jordan Farmar started and played 22 minutes, and Xavier Munford played 28 again. So that's 3 in a row that Munford has played more minutes than Farmar off the bench. Now, Munford's offensive abilities are almost non-existent. He was 2 of 9 for 4 points, but did add 4 assists, 3 steals, a block, and a rebound. And he becomes a really cheap punt DFS option if he's going to get 28 to 30 minutes a night. It's not going to come through often, but it's a punt option. The rest of this team, it is just a nightmare trying to decipher anything from this rotation. And we talk about the other teams like the Hornets and the Heat and shortening their rotation. Well, the Grizzlies can't shorten their rotation because guys 3 through 12 are all the same. They're all useless. And, you know, I say useless, I know that they could all kick my ass a million times, but useless in regards to when they're playing the Spurs. What are these guys going to do? They're all at the same sort of level, and that's basically below replacement level. And it's going to be, they just want to go on holidays. I'm certain of that. For the Spurs, they're not going to have to exert themselves too much. Kawhi played just the 29 minutes. Aldridge played just 27. Tone Parker just 21, and he went 15-6 in that time. Danny Green played 20 minutes. Manu played 21 minutes. Even Boban Marjanovic, Jonathan Simmons got out onto the court in this one. Kyle Anderson played the 15 minutes. I think that's going to be his role through the majority of these playoffs, but it'll be guys like Marjanovic, Simmons, that don't play really a big role, even Kevin Martin, who had 10 points in his 12 minutes. Really hard to get a gauge on what the Spurs are going to do moving forward, because they're going to be in this situation for the majority of these games throughout the playoffs or throughout the first round. Portland and the Clippers, Dame Lillard struggled, 21-2-8. That's still a pretty good night when you're struggling, but it wasn't his best performance. But CJ McCollum struggled more. He went 3 of 11 for 9 points. He had 3 assists and a 3. And I talked about it yesterday that the Clippers' guard defense, especially at shooting guard, has been tremendous for nearly all of the season. And he is going to have nights like this, and it happened here. Mace Plumlee was limited by foul trouble, had 19 minutes for 4 fouls. He was 4 and 5. And that meant that a couple of other guys had to get into the game. But again, it was a blowout. So we saw Pat Connaughton in there. We saw Chris Kaman. We saw Luis Montero. We saw Brian Roberts play 3 minutes. Just a real ugly situation. El-Farouq Aminu got a nice double-double. Mo Harkless played 21 minutes. Alan Crabb played 25 minutes. It's just really, really piss poor looking at this performance. Onto the Clippers, Blake Griffin looked great, 19-12-6 with a steal and a block, fantastic. If his salary hadn't risen out of control in DFS, he'd be a really nice option for the next game, but it's already risen significantly. JJ Redick had 17 in his 27 minutes, and DeAndre Jordan had a great game, 18-12 with 4 blocks, and unfortunately the hacker came out, and he went 8 of 18 from the free throw line. That small forward position, still a mess. Luke Marmute played 19, Paul Pierce 11, Jeff Green played 16. That's the way it's sort of going to feel like it's going to go. They're just going to play these little minutes. Wes Johnson played 9. And my boy Kyle Aldridge got 15 off the bench. He went 1-5, but still had the defensive numbers. If you're still playing seasonal leagues, he's such an awesome guy at these. 2 steals and 1 block in just 15 minutes for Aldridge. That run through those games, there wasn't a huge amount to talk about because, as I said, it was just really, really bad for majority of these performances. Let's hope that we get some better games when we look at the games on Monday. Hopefully there's a little bit more excitement, a little bit closer finishes in these games. All right, let's stop now for let's have a quick break, because we're going to have a moment for a word from today's sponsor, which is Loot Crate. If you don't know what Loot Crate is, well, I'm going to tell you all about it right now, because they've been good enough to sponsor the podcast. Loot Crate is a monthly subscription box service. It's for epic geek and gamer items, and it's for pop culture gear as well. Less than $20 a month, you get 6 to 8 items in your box, including licensed gear, apparel, collectibles, and unique one-of-a-kind items, plus more. Each month until the 19th, which we're closing in on now, at 9 p.m. Pacific time, you've got up until that time to subscribe to this month to get this month's exclusive and specific themed box, which they're running. And this month's themed box is Quest. So they're including items from things like Harry Potter, Vikings, Uncharted 4, Labyrinth. There's t-shirts in there, there's the loot pin in there as well. So if you enjoy those sort of fantasy, mythical, adventure quest type things, this is a great month to sign up to Loot Crate. If you're interested in this, or you know someone in your family who's interested in this, send them the URL, our unique Red Rock URL, which is lootcrate.com/redrock. Obviously that's one word. Use that, go and check out the site. It shows Loot Crate that you've come from us. And if you're interested in what's there and you like what Loot Crate's got to offer, and I reckon many of you will, sign up, subscribe. Use the promo code REDROCK and get $3 off any new subscription as well. So make sure you're checking out lootcrate.com/redrock, helping to support the podcast and finding some great stuff that they've got over there on their site. All right, let's look now at the perfect DFS lineup from Sunday. Kyrie Irving had 51 and Chris Paul had 53.7. Paul was pretty much a no-brainer to me at point guard. We talked about Kyrie and he was in a decent spot. I did like Reggie Jackson as well there, but Irving got the better of him. At shooting guard, and we've seen this on both days of the Fantasy NBA playoffs, or the NBA playoffs for DFS purposes, that some really low scores come in at the shooting guard position. Joshy Richardson was in the ideal lineup. He had 19.5 and Gerald Henderson had 26.9. That's going to be the case throughout most of these nights. Is there's going to be nights where people put up sub 20-point scores, yet it's the best value at that position. At small forward, LeBron had 52.7 and Vince Carter went for 23.6. Really tough to sort of rely on Vince Carter to do that continually. At power forward, Kevin Love, 45.1. Luol Deng, 41.9. And the center, DeAndre Jordan, 42.7. I reckon we're going to see more Chris Paul and DeAndre Jordan in these perfect lineups as this first series continues. Or first round series continues. The total of that lineup, a little bit higher than Saturday's one. It would have given you 357.3 points on FanDuel. Let me know if you are playing DFS throughout the playoffs. I imagine you're not listening to this podcast unless you are playing. Let me know how you're going. Let me know if you're if you're being successful, if you're getting some money, getting some victories, because interesting to know how you guys are going at it. All right, let's look now at the games on Monday. There are only 3 of them on, and hopefully we get some closer ones, although one of the games could be very, very ugly indeed. We're not going to talk about that one just yet. We're going to start with the Indiana Pacers and the Toronto Raptors. There's no spreads released just yet for this. Now, you'd have to imagine the Raptors are going to be super keen to get this victory. They need this victory after that first loss in Game 1. Kyle Lowry at 8,200 in the point guard position. There are some other point guards who are better value or have the ability to put up more fantasy points and return a better ratio. But that there's Steph Curry and there's Russ Westbrook. And there's two things about those guys. We'll talk about them soon. Curry might not play. Westbrook, they might blow out the Mavericks. So Lowry, if you're looking to spend up money at point guard, and I reckon you're probably going to have to. He's at 8,200. He's going to want to bounce back after that poor performance. And even if he gets you just 40 points, 37 points, I think it's enough at that point. But he's going to have a big game. A big game's going to have to come for him. So I do like Kyle Lowry here. On the other side, Corey Joseph had a monster in the last one. He put up 26 points in 24 minutes. He's a minimum salary guy. He's going to be a key part of the rotation playing backup one and two. So at 3,600, he's a guy that I think you have to look at in GPPs and consider. Georgie Hill at 4,800, not keen on him being a real factor. And Ty Lawson, same goes for him. At shooting guard, DeMar DeRozan was horrible against the Pacers. And the defense that Paul George can put on these guys can be an issue. He's at 7,900. I don't hate using him. Only the 23 in the last game. He is in play. He's a pretty decent option, but he's not a perfect option. Monte Ellis at 6,000, he put up 31 in the last game. I put pretty much zero faith in him being able to drop another 30 on the Raptors. I think that he is a guy that I'd be avoiding despite the big performance in the last game. Normie Powell only got 17 minutes and put up 6.6 points. He is at 3,800, so he is someone that's he's worth looking at and he's worth considering if you're just looking for a cheap option, but he's not someone I'm going to be steering towards. Same goes with Rod Stuckey at 3,600. But Solomon Hill, I think we have to look at Solomon Hill. He's at 3,900. He dropped 15 points in the last game. He got into the perfect DFS lineup of the day for Saturday. He's averaging 27 points across his last five. It looks like he's going to be a significant part of the rotation. Now, you could look at it and go, okay, maybe he got minutes because Jan Mahimi was bothered by fouls. Miles Turner moved to center, and Solomon Hill and Paul George played the 3 and 4 together. Yeah, that's fine, but it just seems every game over the last couple of weeks, he was just continuing to get minutes. So he's a guy that I do look at as a $3,900 player who can come in and be a bit of a surprise and put up numbers that not many people would be expecting. Terrence Ross at minimum salary, he played 14 minutes in the last game, didn't do much with it. I don't put much faith in him. At small forward, Paul George at 9,000 had 55 in the last game. While it might feel like that's going to be tough for him to repeat, I think over 40 points is definitely in play for Paulie. So he's a guy to look at. CJ Miles, I'm not keen on. And Damari Carroll, I'm going to need to see more minutes out of him. He only played 19 minutes in the last game. The matchup's terrible for him from a DFS point of view. And at 5,100, the salary's not great either. Let's look at the power forwards. Pat is at 3,800. He had a nice 19-point performance, which at 3,800 is pretty nice. But nothing about him screams a guy that I want to use. Miles Turner was good, but he's still at 5,500. So as good as he was in the last game, he only put up 25 points. And at 5,500, that's still not cutting it. So I'm not a massive fan of Miles Turner here. Luis Scola at 3,700. I'd rather spend the extra 100 and take Pat Patterson if I'm going cheap at power forward. The center. I like Jonas Valanciunas. You know I like him. He's at 6,100. He's averaging 33 across his last three. He dropped just a casual 37 points in 21 minutes in game one. I think that he is he's primed for a really big series. 6,100, I think he's one of the better center options out there, and I do really like him. Mahinmi will bounce back at 5,000, though. I'd rather throw the extra 1,000 out there and get Valanciunas. 5,000 for Mahinmi feels like something I'm not massively keen on. Bismack Biyombo had an okay game in the last one, but he got extra minutes because of Valanciunas' foul problem, so not keen there. And it goes without saying that Jordan Hill and Shane Whittington aren't going to be big DFS factors. Let's look now at the next game, which could be brutal. It is the Dallas Mavericks and the Oklahoma City Thunder. JJ Barea has been ruled out, as has David Lee. Barea was massively struggling in that game one. Darren Williams is doubtful. So we're talking about a backcourt that is already without Chandler Parsons. It's going to be without JJ Barea. We're likely going to have no Darren Williams. It's going to be all Ray Felton. So at 4,700, I really like getting Felton out there because he's not good. We know that, but he is averaging 31 points per 36 minutes in his last five games, and he's going to have to play just a shitload of minutes. So you can get 25 points out of him. You could get 30 points out of him. In fact, he's had a 40-point game in his last five. I think that Ray Felton's one of the must-play guys out there. Russ Westbrook's at 10,500. He had just 44 points in the last game in 30 minutes, but that's the concern. With this Mavericks team so undermanned, is Westbrook going to have to play more than 30 minutes? That's a concern for me. Yes, in a GPP, he's fine because somehow the Mavericks keep it closer and he has to stay out there and play 35, 37 minutes and go balls to the wall the whole game. But that feels like it's on the very low end of the probabilities of things that need to happen. So, yeah, it's tough for me to consider using Westbrook. Campaign missed the last game with a hip problem. I would love to see him get in and play, but we've seen Billy Donovan just ludicrously use Randy Foy over Payne all season in one of the most ridiculously stupid coaching decisions we've seen this season. So what's to make me think that Payne gets in and plays in the playoffs? I'd love him. Just play Payne 20 minutes, get Foy out of the rotation, play Russ and Cam together. But that is not what Billy Donovan's thinking. At shooting guard, Devin Harris is at minimum salary. He's at 3,500. There's just no one in the backcourt. He's going to have to play. He's going to have to play backup point guard. He's going to have to play backup two as well. He's at 3,500. And yes, his returns have been pretty poor. His highest score in his last five is just 17 points. And that was in 26 minutes. But he's going to have to get close. He's going to have to get 30 minutes here. Oh, I can't see how he doesn't get 30 minutes. And does that turn into 25 points, 23 points? I think you got to look at using him. Wesley Matthews at 4,800 hasn't been great. The matchup is okay for him, but he only dropped just 13 points in the last game. I think that he gets more than the 29 minutes, but at 4,800, he's someone to look at, but not someone who's an absolute must-own. Dion Waiters at 3,500. I don't mind Waiters at 3,500. Blowout potential means he gets close to 30 minutes and he can have a big game. He's a GPP play. Andre Robertson, Randy Foy, and Anthony Morrow, not worth looking at. Daniel Charles asked me a question. He must be watching live. Thank you, Daniel. Will you take Justin over Harris? Justin who? Justin Anderson? I'm about to get to him. And yes, I would. He is at 3,800. He's going to have to get minutes as well. He's had a 37-point game in his last five. He played okay in the first game, not spectacularly, but he is going to have to get minutes because they would run times where they'd put Barea, Williams, and Felton all out there together. Well, obviously, those first two guys, Williams and Barea, aren't there. Felton's going to have to shift down, so Anderson's going to have to play more than the 18 minutes. You would think he's going to have to start, and he's going to have to get close to 30. So I think that Justin Anderson is definitely someone. I feel more confident using Anderson than Harris, but both of them are a little bit risky. Kevin Durant at 10,300 is super appealing, but the same goes with him and Westbrook. Like, is he going to play enough? Now, he only played 27 minutes in the first game and put up 34 points, which is not a wise investment of 10,300. So I reckon there's other better options out there who feel more secure, like Paul George at 9,000. But if the game gets close, then he's an awesome play. And that's where you've got to weigh it up. Kyle Singler, do we see Josh Huestis again in the playoffs after we didn't see him basically all season? Maybe. Serge Ibaka at power forward, 5,900, had 36 points, really one of the only Thunder players to exceed their value in the last game. At 5,900, I do think that he's a massive chance to return that sort of value, so I'm okay using him. And I do really like Dirk at 7,000. He only had 21 in the last game, but he played 25 minutes. I think we're going to see Dirk get over 30 here and be able to put up over 30 points and be a pretty useful guy. Dwight Powell, Nick Collison, Charlie Villanueva, they all played in the last game. They didn't do a huge amount. Powell was good, though. I like what Powell could do, but I'm not sure he's going to get enough playing time. The Dallas center position, Salah Mejri started the last one over Zaza Pachulia. Got outplayed, so we don't know how that's going to run at this point. Yeah, 3,500 for Mejri, 4,000 for Pachulia. They're definitely not appealing options, but whoever gets a start, but not really. Probably Pachulia is the one I would lean to, but not with much confidence. On the other hand, Enes Kanter at only 4,600. I can't stress enough how much I love Enes Kanter at 4,600. He had a casual 31 in the last game. His last three against this team have yielded 29 in just 22 minutes. He's going to play, he's going to put up numbers, and he's going to decimate this front court of the Mavericks. Steve Adams at 4,400. Just pay the extra $200 and get Kanter and throw in a guy like Justin Anderson at small four to save you that money. Adams is good value, but he's nowhere near as good value as what Kanter is. The last game of the night, a lot of this is going to come down to on whether Steph Curry plays or not. So I've got the what if scenario up on Basketball Monster, where you can click on Curry on, Curry off, and see how that affects the minutes. Curry at 10,900. Look, he had just he had 37 points in 20 minutes the last time. That's obviously out of control. It's so good. And Beverly's a little bit of a concern. The ankle's a little bit of a concern. If it's a blowout, they're not going to risk anything with him. It's hard to use him. He's a GPP and not a cash guy at 10,900. Beverly, on the other hand, at 4,800, really struggled, only played 20 minutes in game one. That will go up. I think the Beverly will be pretty lowly owned in GPPs, and I think that he is definitely someone who you can consider using at only 4,800. If Steph Curry is out, Sean Livingston's at 3,500. You can get 25 to 27 out of Livingston if Curry happens to be out. So definitely okay with looking at him. Well, Jason Terry's not going to be much of an option. At shooting guard, Klay Thompson. I like Klay Thompson at 7,200. Regardless, if Steph's out, I'm even more in love with him at that salary. This season, with Steph Curry on the court, he averages 0.95 FanDuel points per minute. With Curry off, he's at 1.04. So a game without Curry, he's going to get more touches, more usage, and you get a big bump, talking like an 11% rise in his fantasy value. So at 7,200, I would love it if Curry's out. Love it anyway, but if Curry's out, love it even more. On the other side, Jim Harden, his salary dropped by $500. He's down at 10,300. He had a putrid 20-point game in the last one in 32 minutes. Horrible, horrible stuff. I don't think he does it twice in a row. I think at 10,300, we should be feeling pretty confident that Jim Harden goes back to getting close to 50 points and recover some of our money. And at 10,300, that feels like a real bargain for him, considering the way how hot he came into the playoffs. If Curry is out, a guy like Leandro Barbosa is going to get a bit of an extra role. He's at 3,500, but I'm not sure he makes much of an impact. At small forward, Iguodala is at 3,700. He'll get some more opportunities if Curry's out as well, so he's not a bad guy to have a look at. Harry Barnes at 4,700. The Rockets bump is a real factor for him, so 4,700, I don't mind using him as well. Corey Brewer for the Rockets, he's a minimum salary guy. He started the last game, played 28 minutes, put up 18 points. He's going to get monstered by Draymond Green. I'm not a fan of using Corey Brewer here, but I do like Trev Ariza. He's at 6,100. 26 points in the last game. He can be better than that. I think that he is one of the better sort of mid-price small forwards that's out there. Mick Beasley, really not a part of the rotation. KJ McDaniels played 20 minutes and put up 12 points, but hard to see that being a reliable source of fantasy points. At power forward, I talked about what Klay Thompson did when Steph Curry's on and off the court. Well, Draymond, when Steph is on the court, Draymond is at 1.1 FanDuel points per minute. When Steph is off, he's at 1.3 FanDuel points per minute. He's at 8,900. He's got the Rockets bump. He dropped 41 in just 33 minutes in the last one. I think Draymond's an absolute lock to have into your lineups. I really like Clint Capella at a cheap option at power forward too. He's at 4,000. He had 20 points in the last game, and he doesn't need big minutes to get to that 20-point mark, and that can be enough just to give you that cheap salary and keep the sort of the score ticking over. I do like Capella there. Maurice Bates, Donatas Motiejunas, Josh Smith, none of these guys are going to have much of an impact. At center, Andy Bogut is at 4,400. Yeah, look, I don't mind Bogut at 4,400. I think he's someone you can look at in a tournament, but I don't have any trust for cash. Dwight Howard at 6,800. I think that he's a real good play at 6,800. I do prefer Valanciunas over him at 61, but Dwight had 28 points in the last game. I think that, well, the last three times that he's played against the Warriors, he's averaged 38 points, so that's pretty impressive. I don't mind Dwight, and I think he's a chance to get over 30 points here. I think that he can be sort of a contrarian center option, but the guys I like more, you'll see very soon as we get into our DFS picks of the day. I won't bring them up on the screen for you guys watching the video now. At point guard, it is Ray Felton at 4,700. There is no mid-price point guard that I like between 5,000 and 7,500. And the more expensive one is Kyle Lowry, for the reasons I mentioned with Steph, him not playing, and Russ Westbrook. We don't know if that's going to be a blowout. Shooting guard, Devin Harris at 3,500, Clay at 72, and Jim Harden at 10,300. For the small forwards, Justin Anderson, 3,800, Trev Ariza at 61, and Paulie George at 9,000. Power forwards, Clint Capella, 4,000, Dirk Nowitzki, 7,000, and Draymond Green, 8,900. And the centers, Enes Kanter, 46, Jonas Valanciunas, 6,100, and there is no center on the board that is priced at over 7,500. All right. That is it. I told you these podcasts in the playoffs are pretty short and sweet. Follow me on Twitter at @RedRock_Beeble. Follow Basketball Monster at @BaskMonster, where you can find all the up-to-the-minute updates. And if you're a member of Basketball Monster and we have our playoff, our DFS packages available at $14.95, you can see those projections updated as soon as they happen, as soon as we get the news come to us. Subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. Leave a review. It is sensational when you guys do that. You know it's a big help. And go and visit lootcrate.com/redrock, another great way that you can help support the podcast. Good luck to your team in the playoffs. Good luck in building your DFS lineups. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.